Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher, and now I spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make easy EdTech integration a possibility in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, ClassTechTips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and plenty of free downloads too. If you've listened to the podcast the past few weeks, you heard me share my new members-only site designed to help educators like you decrease overwhelm and increase your focus as you search for the best EdTech strategies for teaching and learning. Unfortunately, enrollment for founding members closed last week. Over 200 people joined in, but it will reopen one last time in 2019. And if you want to get on the wait list, just head to classtechtips.com/club, where you'll get a free download as soon as you sign up for the wait list. This week's podcast is titled, How Google Forms Transformed My Data Collection, and I'm excited to share a few stories and some actionable tips for using Google Forms in the classroom. I often host webinars on how to use Google Forms for data collection, and I'm excited to share some of the same strategies with you in podcast format today. I'll try my best not to move too quickly through these steps. I can talk fast when I'm excited about something, but remember, you can grab the transcript and resources I mentioned in the episode, including a slide deck where you'll see some visuals that go along with some of the things I'm talking about at classtechtips.com/podcast. So if you're looking for some visuals to go along with this audio today, say you're driving or you're running or you're folding laundry and just listening along, know that on the blog, so classtechtips.com/podcast, on this episode show notes, you'll see some of the visuals that will take you step by step for creating Google Forms. If you haven't created a Google Form before, you've probably filled one out. A Google Form is essentially a customizable data entry form. So if you want to collect information on who is bringing what to your next potluck dinner or book club meeting, you can use a Google Form. Or if you want to create an interest survey to figure out what students want to learn about a topic, you can use a Google Form too. It's really all about figuring out what information you want to collect and keep organized, and who you are going to collect this information from. Then you create a form and share it with the people you want to give you information. Before we go into the steps for creating a form and a few of my favorite use cases, I want to tell you a story of how I got started with Google Forms, aka how Google Forms transformed the way I thought about data collection with technology. If we've met before, you might know a little bit about how my work in a one-to-one classroom using iPads with my fifth grader students and becoming an Apple Distinguished Educator, how all that work started. Talking about iPads and Apple might seem like a strange place to start a Google Forms story, but that's the real deal. Before my students received iPads as part of our one-to-one initiative, one day during summer planning, my assistant principal pulled me aside and she said she had an iPad I could use that school year. I wasn't sure what to do with the iPad. I didn't have my own one sitting at home, or any tablet for that matter. It was a totally new device for me personally, let alone professionally. We weren't one-to-one at that point, and I started off by trying to figure out what exactly to do in what I used to call a one iPad classroom. This was before the days of Google Classroom being so prevalent in schools, but Google Docs, Slides, and Forms were available to Gmail users. My kiddos didn't have an email address. My school email address was not hosted by Google, but I had a Gmail address and I knew a few ways to go beyond checking my email. This is where Google Forms came into play. I knew I could create a Google form and that all of the information would automatically be collected and organized into a Google Sheet. My formative assessment data in my classroom wasn't exactly a mess, but I knew I could do a better job collecting information, keeping it organized, and most importantly, acting on the data I collected. So I started creating Google Forms instead of using a clipboard or jotting down notes in a binder. When I met with a guided reading group, I used a form I created to take notes on how students were doing and areas they needed help. It was really easy with an iPad because I could just tap, tap on my screen. I wasn't tethered or staring at a laptop. Made it really easy for me to put in information the same way I might jot it down and put it into a binder. When I checked in on students as they were working through math problems and whole class instruction, I also used Google Forms to keep track of student progress related to a particular skill. So after my mini lesson, when kids were working in partners or small groups or independently, I could go around and check in on them and keep track of that information. Google Forms made it easy for me to keep data organized, and all I had to do was open up my Google Drive and all of the data was waiting there for me. Well, the next school year, I worked with a co-teacher for the first time, and I shared the forms I made with her so she could also input information when she met with a guided reading group or when she jotted down observations during a math lesson. All of the information we submitted to each form went to a shared Google Sheet so we could both access the information from our own devices whenever we needed to. Using Google Forms this way only required a teacher device connected to a web browser. I could have used a Chromebook or even my smartphone to input information into a Google Form I created. This seemingly simple idea, using my iPad and Google Forms, totally transformed data collection in my classroom and really changed the way I saw the power of educational technology. Now that you heard a little bit about why I love Google Forms, I'm going to talk about making Google Forms, a few tips to consider, then finish up with a few use cases. Whether you have one device like I did when I first started using Google Forms, or if there is a device in the hand of every student, there's a lot you can do. One important note, I'm sharing these strategies with Google Forms as my spotlight tool. It's the one I used when I first got started with this strategy. It's one I know very well and I continue to share. But you can essentially do the same thing with Microsoft Forms, which is a super dynamic tool I've shared on my blog before, or even with JotForm, another robust option. I've partnered with both Microsoft and JotForm in the past to share these on my blog, and I'll make sure to link to those blog posts in the show notes for this episode. Just head to classtechtips.com/podcast for more information on those two tools. To create a Google form, I typically head straight to my Google Drive by going to drive.google.com. This isn't the only way to get started, but it's my preferred method. It's the one I started with, the one I use all the time, and it's just how my workflow typically goes when creating a Google form. In your Google Drive, you'll have the option to create a few different items, including Google Docs, Slides, and Forms. You can access this all by hitting the New button, and sometimes you have to toggle down a bit for the option to create a Google Form. So when you click on the New button, typically on the left-hand side, upper left-hand side of your screen, you might not see the option for Forms in the primary menu, but it'll be right there at the bottom if you hit the arrow for a couple more options. Once you've done that step, you'll have the option to customize your Google Form with a variety of question types. So you'll have to know what type of information you want to collect and how you would like to organize it in order to make your very own form. Let's look at a couple examples of how you might create a form that you fill out or collect in order to keep important information organized. One way to use a Google form this way is for one-on-one conference data. This means you create a form you will fill out multiple times. You make the form once, then each time you meet with students, you fill out the form with data related to that student. So kind of how if you're making a parent survey, you will make the form once, then share it with anyone you want to fill in the survey. 2 people or 200 people could fill it out. It doesn't matter. You just had to make the form one time. Same idea here. You make the form once, but you are the one who is filling it out multiple times, each time you want to collect information. All of the data you collect will automatically go into your Google Drive. You can access all of the responses straight from edit mode of your Google form, or you can create a Google Sheet so all of the information will be collected into a spreadsheet each time you hit submit. So just like creating a Google form, there's a couple different ways to get started. Same thing here with accessing the information. So let's talk about a few use cases for collecting formative assessment data with Google Forms. You can create a form to keep track of guided reading data, filling out the form each time you meet with a group to track individual and group progress. You can create a form to keep track of notes for when you check in with a science group who are conducting research for an experiment. Having the spreadsheet of responses will make it easy to remember who needs what's what in order to be successful. You might also use a form to keep track of information from student writing conferences, so you can easily track student progress over the course of a unit of study. One strategy I used with student writers was to create a form that included just a couple questions of the things I was looking for when reviewing student writing samples in the beginning of the year. We always started with a personal narrative unit, and so when I was reviewing student writing samples from the first couple weeks of school, I wanted to see what kids were doing already, what they remembered from the grade before, what they were applying in this context. That way, if I saw any big gaps, I'd be able to tackle that as a whole class or with small groups or individual students. So I had my one Google form on my desk and my iPad next to a pile of student papers. As I went through, I marked down filling out the form for each student with just a couple taps on the screen. That way I could see who needed extra help with things like composition of sentences or writing paragraphs, or who was already using dialogue in their stories. So I knew I could take that and leverage that asset for further instruction. Bottom line, Google Forms are totally customizable. You can use them any way you like to collect information on anything you like. Head over to the show notes for this page to download a slide deck with some examples of Google Forms, or check out my book, Formative Tech, which is available on Amazon, if you want to dive into this a bit deeper, or you're just looking for more ideas for formative assessment data in general. So let's make this EdTech easy. First, decide what information you'd like to collect. Next, log into your Google account or set up a free account. Then, create a form customized to your needs for data collection. Finally, fill out the form every time you want to collect data and review the responses periodically. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow @ClassTechTips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world, so if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way. This month, I'm headed to Virginia, Texas. I'm working with teachers in New Jersey. I'm making some stops in California. So I love traveling around and visiting schools, teachers, and students all over the place. Feel free to reach out if you have any professional learning needs. See you next week with more easy EdTech tips.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech podcast wherever you're listening.